I woke up one day feeling very fearful. I woke up feeling fearful. I had done a wedding the night before, a good number of miles away, and in the middle of the wedding party, while I was in the party tent, the reception tent, I got a text from my wife, Nance, telling me about a serious issue with her minivan. I was miles away in the thick of this wedding celebration, and she was texting me, and I couldn't do anything but via text ask her more questions because of all that was going on in the wedding party. And I found out quickly she was home safe, so I was relieved to learn that. But the van was indeed sorry and sick. It was struggling. We had already had a string of costly issues with this minivan. It had buco miles on it. It was one of these deals where, like, we'd had costly issue after costly issue. It had gone from nickeling and diming us to 500 and 1,000ing us. Ever have that happen? You know what I'm talking about? And so we knew we were nearing this breaking point with the van. We knew it was about time, but we have been putting it off. We've been thinking, I just got to save a little more money, just need to save a little more money or whatever. I just didn't want the hassle of dealing with it. But when Nance texted me what it was doing, I knew. And then when I woke the next morning, I felt overwhelmed and scared because I knew that we needed to make a trade. We really needed to make a trade. Woke up that next morning feeling the same way I had felt the night before because I had come home and I had given it a startup and a little bit of a test on some things. But I realized, this thing is done for. We need to trade it in while it is still running. And that's part of what I woke up fearful about. I got up and I was feeling that whole jumble, just this raucous jumble of emotions inside, and knowing that really, there was no time for dilly-dallying. We were going to need to trade this thing in while it was still running. Do you ever have that feeling about a car? Like, while it's still running, like, get to trade it in? And so in the midst of my fear, I prayed, and I said, Lord, help! And I looked out the window, and no new van had appeared in my driveway. I didn't really think that was going to happen, but it can't hurt to look, you know? And the big problem was that this really needed to happen soon while it was still running. No time for dilly-dallying, and I had a very busy couple weeks coming up. That was part of what was pressing in on me, and I was so frightened about it. Very busy couple weeks. What was the likelihood that on that very day, I could actually find a solid vehicle at a fair price, strike a deal, and make a trade? I'll share more in a bit, but for right now, I'll invite you, urge you to join me in this thought. You and I carry rough rocks. That whole jumble and tumble of emotions inside of us constantly, like rocks rattling around inside of us, and they're rugged and they're rough. Rocks like fear, rocks like doubt, rocks like guilt. And we need some great trades. We need some great trades. And if we open our hearts, now listen to the part, don't miss this. If we open our hearts today, we can make some really great trades. Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9 in the Message version says this. Will you read it aloud with me? Let's read it together, out loud. Will you join me? Let's read together. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. Good morning, he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshiped him. These women had been, note the trade they made that morning, they had been full of fear, but that day, they made a great trade. See, life had become desperate for that band of close friends, women and men who had followed Jesus. He'd worked wonders for them. Mary Magdalene, he sent seven demons packing and then filled her life up with new joy and a fresh start, new way to live every day. He'd worked wonders for the rest of them, Peter and John and the others. He called them and taught them how to truly fish. Disciples had grown to know him, love him, and join his kingdom community. And it's a beautiful thing to be a part of his kingdom community. They followed him in growing obedience and joyous mission. But then the darkness descended. And that darkest of all Fridays, he breathed his last and was buried in the tomb. Guards kept watch Friday night, then Saturday. Shabbat passed. And listen to this as Robin reads for us from the message, Matthew 28. Listen to Matthew 28.
After the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. The angel spoke to the women. "There is nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now, get on your way quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. He is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there." That's the message. The women, deep in wonder and filled with joy, lost no time in leaving that tomb. They ran to tell the disciples, but Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. "Good morning," he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said, "You're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened like that. Go tell my brothers that they are to go to Galilee, and I will meet them there."
Let's see three ways Jesus' Resurrection Day urges us to make a trade. Three ways that Resurrection Day still works wonders today. Here's the first one. Bring your fear. Trade for wondrous faith. Bring your fear. Trade for wondrous faith. Roll that rough rock around in your hand for a moment. Take it in hand. By the way, you will note how much I trust you. Because at any given moment here, you could be like, "Oh, okay, enough of that," and start throwing it. I know. You and I, when it comes to rough, tumble, jumble inside us, you and I really aren't different from those early disciples. Our lives, your life, my life gets fear-filled. Eugene Peterson said this. Peterson said, "I love the contrast between those Roman guards, insensible and sprawled on the ground, paralyzed by fear, and the two exuberant women, kneeling on the same ground, energized by fear." It's the same word in both cases. Fear. But it's not the same thing, Peterson says. There is a fear that incapacitates us for dealing with God, and there is a fear that pulls us out of our preoccupation with ourselves, our feelings, or our circumstances into a world of wonder. It pulls us out of ourselves into the very action of God. In your everyday sitch right now, you likely know serious fear. Some of us know fear about our finances in this topsy-turvy economy. Some of us know fear about family. Some of you are actually dreading Easter dinner today because of who you have to be with. Some of us know fear regarding friendships that may be shaking and quaking. Whatever your fear right now, you may feel paralyzed. My own family has known some scary days lately with health, our extended family, extended on out a ways, cancer scare, things were in the clear after testing, but a cancer scare in some broader family, a sports injury, plus other quaking issues. Anybody else just willing to admit you know about fear? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we do. The big key is learning to pause to pray. Here's where we make the trade, to actually stop and say, wait, God, you've got me in this, and I'm trusting you, you'll see me through it. But wait, this feels horrible, this feels so fearful, but God, you've got me in this, I'm trusting you that you'll see me through it. The essence of growing faith is to bring your fear and trade for wondrous trust. To trade for wondrous trust. A bunch of us have lost loved ones recently. Too much. The gushing tears and grief are still raw. So raw. And in the midst of such loss and grief, it's easy to get bitter and jaded and branded. I recall 15 years ago, this time of year, when my dear grandma went to heaven, and I stood with other family members there at the foot of her bed and cheered her into Jesus' arms, and out loud I was saying, "It's okay, Grandma, we love you. Go to be with Jesus. Run to Grandpa. Go ahead. Be there." But even as I was saying that and others were entering in prayer, even as we were doing all of that, our hearts were crushed. The loss and heartache were horrific. I need resurrection courage. Listen, a grave is never really the end. A grave is never really the end. Karl Barth poignantly reminds us that it's the portal. Only where graves are is there resurrection. Jesus' resurrection pushes back fear and fills you anew with everyday courage. God wants to meet you, pull you closer, build your faith, and shape stronger character. Essence of faith is trusting God's promises even at the grave. Even there at the grave. To pray, "I trust you. You've got me in this. You'll carry me through it." The trade, your rock of fear for growing faith. Now listen to Luke's account of the resurrection. Luke's account of the resurrection. We gain a second way Jesus' resurrection day can work wonders in our everyday situations. Listen as Robin reads from Luke 24. Luke 24. Watch this. Listen.
They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then, out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He's not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed to sinners, be killed on a cross, and then in 3 days rise up?" Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all of this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mother Mary of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles, but the apostles didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet, ran to the tomb. He stooped in to look and saw a few grave clothes. That was all. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head.
Here's the second way Jesus' resurrection day still works wonders. It could pull you into a great trade. Bring your doubts. Trade for wondrous details. Bring your doubts. Trade for wondrous details. Jesus' resurrection reawakens dusty promises, truths we heard long ago. Remember. Jesus scattered prophetic details all across his time with his disciples, and they just didn't get it. Again and again, he said, going to Jerusalem, going to die, but I'll rise again on the third day. It's one of the most astounding pieces of evidence for the veracity of Jesus, true Savior, King. Who could foretell like this? Who could foretell such things? I can't tell you what I'm going to eat for lunch today, let alone how he would die, how he would rise again. It's incredible evidence. His power, his divine capacity. And they just didn't get it again and again. For these women and the disciple guys, everything got foggy. They doubted. Roll that rock around in your hand. Go ahead, roll it around in your hand again. No too much doubt on your journey? You're in good company. We say things like, how could the disciples back then be so dense? And yet, if we're honest, we say our own quizzical, questioning, doubtful words. We look at, we hear this old story, and we go, okay, sounds nice, sounds beautiful, but really? Dead men live again? They doubted. We doubt. We just heard about Peter shaking his head. Did you catch that? Shaking his head. Wondering? So if you know your own share of doubt, you're in good company. Peter doubted on his journey. Bring your doubts, trade for wondrous details. Bring your doubts, trade for wondrous details. Now, listen as Robin reads John's account, John chapter 20.
Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the other linen cloths, but separately, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back home.
You gotta love it. Everybody's running. Have you caught that as we've heard it in the story today? Everybody's running. Mary Magdalene, then John and Peter. Oh, by the way, John wins. Did you notice that? John wins. Peter apparently was a slow runner. But then he gets there, and when he catches up, I mean, John just kind of stands there at the door, kind of hangs back, but he gets there. John stands there, but Peter gets there. Typical Peter, oh, in he goes. And he looks at the evidence, and then notice he sees deeper evidence, a kerchief cloth, carefully folded. Apart from the other grave clothes. Now, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal? Well, grave robbers, would have never carried out such careful detail. It's like Jesus deliberately left a giveaway clue. It's like he left this clue. Hey guys, look, I made my bed this morning. John then went in, saw the linens, and believed. If your own rock is doubt, it's okay. Really. Resurrection day is a good day for a trade. The tomb is a good place to run and research. Let the wonder of left behind linens plus what's to come with eyewitnesses turn on the wonder switch for you. Bring your doubts. Bring your doubts. And trade for wondrous details. One more way Jesus' resurrection day works wonders. Here it is. Bring your sinful failure. Trade for wondrous forgiveness. Bring your sinful failure. Trade for wondrous forgiveness. Oh, and bonus. When you get forgiveness, you also start to get bold purpose. Bold purpose. Listen again in Luke's gospel. It says, they were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He's not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up. Then they remembered Jesus' words. That's Luke 24, 4 through 8. Handed over to sinners. Killed on a cross. He mercifully, willingly took nails and the cross at the hands of sinners. And the truth is, it was not simply wicked Roman soldiers. It was the whole cadre of self-absorbed, the whole collection of seemingly religious, self-righteous, jeering people. He took the agony and he paid the ultimate price for our sins, for your sin, for my sin. It's like you and I were right there in the mob. We're really all sinners in need of a Savior. We forget that, and the story this morning is saying, remember, remember. I too readily forget. I'm such a mess. You too. All of us. Such a mess. Such a jumble of rocks rattling around inside of us with our fears and our doubts and our sinful failures. We're a mess. We forget it, I forget it, and keep trying to make things right all on my own. You keep trying to make things right all on your own. You entered today. Resurrection day, and something shakes off the dust, so you remember. You are more needy, but also more loved by your Heavenly Father than you could ever imagine. I am more needy. We are more needy, but more loved than we could ever imagine. God the Father sent his precious Son to die for you and rise again. And ironically, we keep forgetting and thinking, oh, I can handle it all on my own. And we forget how much we need that love, his forgiveness of our sins. He had to go to the cross. Don't forget, Jesus cried out there, pinned to the cross, hands with nails, feet with nails, crown of thorns on his head from the cross. He cried out there, Father, forgive them. Have you received that forgiveness? Seriously, sincerely, have you received that forgiveness? Have you traded your rock of fear, your rock of doubt, your rock of sinful shame and guilt? Today, you can trade that sinful failure for Jesus' forgiveness, his righteousness, the righteousness you couldn't work on your own, his righteousness for you and new purpose. Don't miss how John's account of the scene wraps up. Peter and John ran inside and they saw the details and they believed. Listen as Robin reads again about Mary. Watch this.
They took my master, she said, and I don't know where they put him. After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for? She, thinking that it was a gardener, said, Sir, if you took him, tell me where you put him so that I can go and care for him. Jesus said, Mary. Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, Rabboni, meaning teacher. Jesus said, Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, I saw the Master! And she told them everything he had said to her.
For Mary, this eyewitness encounter changed every day to come. This eyewitness encounter changed every day to come. I recall a day when I was 18. I was 18 years old. I had only been on campus at Clark Summit University for 2 days. Been a freshman in college 2 days. I was headed away from the student center there on campus back to my dorm. I was walking down a stretch of sidewalk, and this truly beautiful young lady, long, curly, blonde hair, came walking the other side of the walkway toward me. And it was Nance, who's now my wife. We'd never met, but I was immediately thinking to myself, oh, wow, she's cute. And I could date her. I smiled her way. She kept walking right on by. But even though she has no recollection of that moment, I do. It ended up having an amazing influence on every day to come. Maybe you recall the day your child or grandchild was born, or the day you moved and met new neighbors, or the day you started a new job. How about today? Resurrection Day. Let it be your day. Let it be your day. This day. Resurrection Day. Let it be your day for a trade. Let's wrap up by talking about how to maximize everyday resurrection. Let me give you some everyday resurrection maximizers. Here's the first one. Join others in surprise. Recall those opening words in Matthew 28 we read together. Recall them, wondrous joy of God's love, forgiveness, and the reality of Jesus raised. Listen, friends, we tend to overthink things sometimes. As modern day thinkers, we overthink. Thinking is good. Looking at the evidence is good. Considering the angles, that's awesome. It's important. Intellect is indeed a part of faith. It is. But there comes this point where you're overthinking. Some of you are overthinking. I tend to overthink at points. I do. Thanks. Yeah, I know. I know. I do. There comes this point where it's good to just lean in to the wonder. When's the last time you actually just went, wow? I hope this morning in a fresh way, you sense some holy wow at the miracle of the resurrection, of Jesus' love for you, of this opportunity to trade the old for new. Believe him. Receive him today. Here's the second maximizer. Join the mix back here the next two Sundays. We start this series today, Everyday Resurrection. Two more Sundays, we're gonna dig into the everyday implications. See, Resurrection Sunday isn't just for Easter Sunday. It actually has implications for every day of your life. If we truly get a hold of the reality of the resurrection, it will transform you from the inside out and help you in amazing ways. So join the mix back here next couple weeks. Third maximizer, join a new discipleship group. You heard Randy mention them earlier. The big board in the lobby lists opportunities and how to jump in right there. You heard about the Next Steps workshop coming up starting next Sunday. If you were one of many who laid down palms last Sunday saying for the first time, I confess Christ, I believe, I receive his forgiveness and new life. If that was you or today, for the first time you choose to trade your rock, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. If you're making a trade today, join a group. And especially the Next Steps opportunity would be wonderful. There's a new James study starting that, by the way, James was half-brother of Jesus. You want some interesting insights, jump in on the James study. Some interesting angles on life from James, powerful. Join a new discipleship group. Here's another maximizer, don't miss this one. Tell someone else today. Tell someone else today, I believe Jesus and his resurrection. In fact, if that's true in your heart and life, will you just practice that with me for a minute? Let's do that together. I believe Jesus and his resurrection. If you really do, say it with me, go ahead. I believe Jesus and his resurrection. One more time. I believe Jesus and his resurrection. Now why? Now, I'd encourage you, don't let that suffice for your saying it. Why is that important? Well, did you notice it? Everyone in the story runs to tell someone. That's the response. It's part of the wonder and the wow, the holy wow. They run to tell someone. Everybody does. Let's each tell someone. This afternoon, I invite you to surprise some family member and get up close and say, by the way, I believe this stuff. Watch their eyes bug out a little bit. Seriously. What happens when you do that? You're being an amazing witness for Jesus. And not just today. Today, yeah, that might be a little interesting with family, but try it at work this week. Try it with somebody else you meet this week. You'll be a wonderful witness. Finally, this one's huge. Let Jesus' resurrection run your life. Let Jesus' resurrection run your life. We all choose things to let them run our lives. Some of us, we let work run our life. Some of us, this can seem good, but some of us let family overrun our life. Or some of us let some philosophy run our life. Some of us just let Duncan run our life. Yeah? Let the resurrection run your life. The truth, the way, Jesus. When you do, you'll believe for bigger things. You'll say no to stupid, dead-end things. Too many of us, we're letting dead-end, self-centered, self-consumed things run our lives. You'll live more righteous based on Jesus' righteousness and resurrection power for you. More on that coming up next 2 weeks. Gabby and the team are coming right now for final songs. And as they're coming, I'll tell you, that desperate Saturday when we needed to trade, we wonderfully found a new-to-us van. Woohoo! It suddenly popped up online. It hadn't been in my earlier searches. That night before when I got home and I started hunting, it's part of why I woke up scared. I hunted and hunted again, but by late morning, wonderfully, this popped up. And it was so super clean and low miles, And I made a mad dash to the dealership, and I brought our bedraggled van in, and the dealer looked at it, and he's like, "This is a sorry van." I'm like, "I know." But it was the end of the month. Good time to be making a trade, right? And the head manager was excited to trade, even with seeing how sorry our old van was. We struck a deal, and we traded old for new, new to us. And still today, as you probably can tell, it feels so victorious. You're going to have a wondrous opportunity to make a trade today as you leave in a few minutes. If you're carrying a rugged rock with you, rock of fear, rock of doubt, or sinful guilt, and you've never before confessed Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you've never before done that, I invite you, warmly urge you, to come to the front afterward by this cross. There are beautiful new resurrection rocks. And in the back, as you go out, there's a couple of cross stations as well with the same. And I invite you and urge you to pause and confess Christ. If you've never done this before, if you've never before asked Him to forgive your sins, ask Him to make you new, ask Him, invite Him to fill your life, trade the old for the new. Stop and confess. There'll be prayer team gang there nearby, and that they won't bug you. If you want to just pause there and pray and swap your rock out for the new one, feel free to do that. But if you'd like help and encouragement, one of them will be nearby. Tell King Jesus you're grateful and you love Him and you want to follow Him with your whole life every day. Listen now and reflect.